Man, I missed y'all. Y'all look good. Really, I mean it this time. You look good. The last times I didn't mean it so much, but wow, it's good to be back. We really missed you a whole lot. I tried to, thank you. You know, working out a little bit, loose and free. Thank you. Let me say this first of all. Thank you, church. Thank you for the time. Oh, man. Got a lifetime of experiences in 6 weeks. You think you're going to be hearing about it today, but you're going to be hearing about it for the next few years. I can't wait to continue to share things that God has begun in this 6 weeks for my life, for my family, and for our church. I was hoping this morning that maybe we had some armrests so you could grip on, because we're going to be on a journey starting today. Let me say thank you to the six men who preached the last 6 weeks. Guys, y'all are awesome. I haven't listened to one of your sermons, but I will. And I've heard that it was so great. Y'all are ready for me to take another 6 weeks. So I'm excited about that news as well. The main emphasis of my family was a trip up the East Coast. So I just wanted to share briefly with you. We went through 17 states, 4,500 miles, about 1,000 restroom stops, 3 world-famous beaches, and every possible tourist trap, I mean attraction and museum photo opportunity that you could go to. It was cool. Our primary means of transportation was a white swagger wagon that we love to drive around in. But we also went by boat, by trolley, by bus, by train, and by camel. So that was fun, too. We saw every old thing that you can see. Old buildings, old dead dudes, ancient Bibles, ancient Bible artifacts, and ancient animals. We saw all types of animals, dog, cats, dolphins, without tails even, sharks, sea turtles, seagulls, pelicans, all types of fish, hermit crabs, sand dollars, starfish, goats, cows, llamas, horses, camels, zebroids, chickens, deer, doves, peacocks, guineas. The list, I think I stopped it short. It goes on. Man, we saw Clearwater Marine Aquarium, the Holy Land Experience, Scriptorium, Williamsburg, Virginia, Mount Vernon, Fort McHenry, Creation Museum in Kentucky and D.C. We saw the White House, the Capitol Building, FBI Headquarters, Ford's Theater, National History Museum, Air and Space Museum, the National Monument, the Archives. We saw the Lincoln Memorial, Vietnam Memorial, World War II Memorial, Jefferson Memorial, and Martin Luther King Memorial. We've also thoroughly investigated the Revolution War, the War of 1812, and the Civil War. Okay, I've answered all your questions. You don't have to ask me about the trip now when we're done, okay? That's what we did. We're caught up to speed and excited about it. For those of you who are just visiting with us today, man, I'm glad that you are here. I'm never this emotional, so I don't know what the problem is. Jesus is not the problem, right? Today's going to be a little bit different. I want to share some things from my heart that God has been teaching me over the last 6 weeks. Normally, when you show up here, we're going to be digging into Scripture. Today, we're going to be flipping and just reading some Scriptures about what God is teaching. So we dig deep. Come back next week and let's dig deep. You know, 6 weeks ago, my heart was antsy. I didn't know what God was going to do. I just wanted him to do something, you know. I look in your eyes and I see that look sometimes. You know, I don't know what I need God to do. I just need him to do something. And honestly, 6 weeks ago, you know, God could have called me to Kazakhstan or something like that. And I would have said, you know, yeah, I'll go. I'm going to do it, because I was just at a place where through being beat up and through being tired, you know, it's kind of hard to hear what is the Lord doing in my own life. The first week that we went on this sabbatic leave, I woke up at one in the morning with a dream that the Lord had just given me in my sleep. If you want to talk about this theologically, we can talk about it after the service. The next day, I woke up at 1 in the morning with a dream that the Lord had given me. The next day, I woke up at 1 in the morning with a dream that the Lord had given me. 3 days in a row, Three dreams in a row. You know, you normally dream right before you wake up. And these are at 1 a.m. And I woke up after each one knowing that this was God speaking. And I'm not going to share the details of the dreams, but it was a life without fellowship church. And man, yeah, it was that bad. It was scary, right? And man, what God was just hammering home in my heart, God has a plan here for you, church. You sitting here in these chairs, God has a plan for you. He has a hope for you. He has a future in store for you right here. And his plan for you right here is to change Kyle, Texas, or to change Buda, to change Mountain City, to change San Marcos. I've been given glimpses of what God's vision is for this church, and I don't even know the full scope of it. All I know is this: when 12 men devoted their life to Jesus Christ, the world was turned upside down by what they did. And what is God going to do when he starts using us? I'm excited to see it. Now, it was interesting for me, after being here for 7 years and I park further away than anybody else parks, suddenly I'm a first-time visitor at every church that we're going to. Now, I went to my father's church twice, which was an amazing blessing. And then we went to a Baptist church in Clearwater, Florida. We went to an Assemblies of God church in Williamsburg, Virginia, to a Bible church in Bethesda, Maryland, and to Oakwood Church in New Braunfels. What an amazing perspective. How great it was to park right next to the front door and walk into the church. Maybe you want to write down some of these things. Maybe you just want to hear them and let them be beat into your brains. Guys, there's a few things that stood out to me from visiting these places we need to talk about this morning. Friendliness is essential in the church. Man, friendliness is essential in the church. Be friendly. Turn with me to John chapter 13. In verse 35, Jesus is talking and he says this to his disciples: "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." If you love each other, people are going to look at you and say, "Hey, that's a follower of Jesus." Nobody's supposed to love that way. Look at the way that they're loving each other. Do you realize this? That if we're not a friendly church, then people are going to walk in and they're going to think that God isn't right here. Because that's how they know, by friendliness. Do you realize this, that friendliness springs from following God, because we see people through God's eyes? Man, I don't know who's going to walk through those doors every single week. But I guarantee you this, there are people who need Jesus Christ. There are people who are lost who need Christ. There's people that are saved who need the Spirit to fill them up. And you are the source of what God wants to use to fill them up with the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you chalk it off to, "I'm just not that way. I'm not talkative." Stop making excuses. Man, lower your pride and lower the walls of sin that are keeping you from talking to people that are around you, and talk to them. Find out about who they are. Pray with them. Ask them about their life. I'm amazed at how one word changes everything in a church, right? So here we want to do this. All right, I want you to stand up. I don't want you to be lost just because I'm getting up in your grill this morning, all right? So I want you to raise your right hand. I want you to say this: "I am the greeting team.
I am the greeting team.
For God." All right? We're not signing you up for the church. You're not taking some oath. You are the friendliness of the Lord to those who walk through these doors, to those who are your neighbors. Be the Lord to them. All right, be seated. You can put your hands down too. Thank you. That was sweet. If you don't talk to people each Sunday that you don't know, church, shame on us as a church. Man, shame on us as a church. Do you know, we went into, aside from my father's church, right? Because I walk in, the pastor's son. The four churches that we went into, I'm trying to think, only one church, somebody without a greeter badge talked to us. Only one. One church, no greeter even talked to us. Right? We walked in, we walked out, nothing. You know, I would have fallen over if somebody without a greeter badge would have said, why don't you come and sit next to me? There's some space right here. Instead of, okay, I got my two chairs of adequate personal space away from everybody else. I would have fallen over. Man, we got to be that way, church. Be friendly. Let's keep going. Here's the second thing that stood out, so apparent to me. Lights and fancy does not a church make, okay? I think I said that like Yoda, but that's okay. Man, the Holy Spirit, it makes the church. The Spirit of Christ makes the church. We went to a church that was a satellite campus, and they were so fancy, and it was in this theater, and the pastor was up on this big screen, and the guy that started leading the worship, man, the moment that he started singing, Elizabeth and I reached out, and we're like, this guy belongs in Nashville. He's amazing. And he started getting into the song, and we were like, something's missing. What is it? It's God. Where is he? And we left the church and we both looked at each other and we said, I wonder if we can catch another service somewhere around here because we feel like we haven't been to church. The Holy Spirit was missing. Man, it's easy to get caught up in the periphery of what you're doing and let the Holy Spirit escape. If we do that as leadership, man, there's going to be a vacuum in this room. If you do that as members and as attenders of this church, you're going to miss the blessing that the Holy Spirit has for you each day that you come here. Oh, this chair is too close to the other chair. My knees are hitting the chair in front of me. Oh, the screen is not on the right words. You know, great. Oh, I don't like the color of these curtains. Oh, the sun is shining in my eyes. If we allow Satan to use those things to distract us from the Holy Spirit, then guess what? He's not going to move in our lives. He's going to win. And we're going to miss out on him changing us, on him doing something amazing in us. Man, we would get online and I would TripAdvisor churches, like what church is good, you know, in this area to figure it out. And I was just horrified at the ratings of church. I'm scared to do that for our church, what people say about our church. But I would get on and people would be like, you have to come to this church. They have cup holders, you know? You know, come to this church. They have a fog machine. It's amazing. I'm telling you, this is online. Not once online did I read, come to this church, the Holy Spirit will knock your socks off when you walk through the doors. Why not? Because we're caught up in this periphery mess. You know what I want to be caught up in? Here, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, 9. If you're missing it this morning, 1 Peter is right before 2 Peter. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's awesome, right? And we say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why we come to this place. You're chosen. You're called out of darkness. We don't have to walk in darkness when the Spirit is around us because that Spirit is light and life for us, for those who are around us. Man, that's cool right there. It's not about this light shining in my eyes. It's about the Holy Spirit being light. Turn to John chapter 10, verse 10. You know why we come here? Because when we're out in this world, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Why did Jesus come? I have come that you might have life, life, church, and have it more abundantly, more than you taste in your home, more than you taste in your work, more than you taste on the drive to church to meet Jesus and have life abundantly. Man, that's why we're here. Look over in Romans chapter 8. What about the love of God, right? Some of you in this room are love starved. I'm thinking Jesus is right in front of you. Why are you so starved for that affection? Because look at this. Here's what Paul writes in 8:38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor the things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are reminded of that right here every day. Man, God loves me. Yes, I am an idiot and he still loves me, right? I am a sinner and he still died on that cross for my sin that I could be white as snow. Praise God. Man, that's what I want to be caught up in when we're here. You know, one thing has the power to change your life. It's not me. It's not this keyboard. It's not a guitar. It's not a fancy light. It's not even somebody saying hello to you. It's Jesus, guys. It's Jesus Christ and the work that he accomplished for us on that cross and in his resurrection. And if we can't get past ourselves weekly, daily, and dig into who he is, we're going to walk out of here the same way that we walked in. That's not what God created us to do in this place, in church. Created us to be changed. All right. Y'all understand? Is that good? All right, next one. Let God handle your burdens. You know what I found, church after church? People are walking in, they got a dumb smile on their face because they don't feel that way, right? You know what I'm talking about, the fake smile? And you see it in the greeters, you know, hey, welcome to this church. And they got the weight of the world on their shoulders. And Elizabeth didn't do this as much as I did, but I was there to observe the church as much as I was there to worship in many, many respects. And so we would be worshiping, and we usually sit up pretty close to the front, and I would turn around a few places where there's 1,000 people in the worship service with us, and I'd turn around and look and see what's going on. And people aren't participating in the exchange of life in Christ Jesus. They're letting their burdens remain on them. And they're walking out as heavily weighted down as when they walked in. I think, what are you doing? Church after church. People with the same look that some of us in this room have, when we walk out, they leave the same way. Church, that shouldn't be. What testimony are we giving to the world when we come in the same and we leave the exact same way? You know what Jesus says in Matthew 11? Turn to Matthew 11, verse 28. Hey, y'all got to turn faster. Come on. Y'all are going slow. Let's go. 28, chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden down, and I will give you rest. Isn't that amazing? Another way that you could translate that is to say, come to me, you who work yourselves to exhaustion. Does that ring any bells for you in this place? Come to me, he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, so many times in that verse, right, you hear people talk about the yoke of an oxen or a horse or a mule, and they put this yoke and the plow is behind it and they're pulling it. And we feel that, right, in the way that we do life because we have all these heavy burdens on us. That's not what Jesus is talking about right here. See, these rabbis in Jesus' day, they had these do's and don'ts. If you want to follow me, you want to be like me, like a rabbi, then you've got to fulfill all of these obligations of do's and don'ts. And then maybe, just maybe, you can be like me, right? So they're heaping the law on top of them time and time again. That was called a yoke. Jesus looks out at his disciples. He says, hey, come here. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It consists of this. Follow me. Keep your eyes on me and walk with me. Let those burdens fall down at the wayside. And when Peter writes 1 Peter, he says, cast your burdens, cast your anxieties upon the Lord because he cares for you. That's 1 Peter 5:7, right? When we cast something, it means that we let it go, doesn't it? Now, this church, our responsibility, Christians, is to look at these people that are heavy laden down and to help carry their burdens. We don't do that by picking them up and placing them on our shoulders. We help carry burdens by bringing people to Jesus. Here, why aren't you following Christ in this way? Come here. Look at his eyes and gaze deeply and feel that burden on your shoulders fall off. Put your foot where his foot just was when he walked to the cross and see that thing that was so important in your heart fall off to the ground. You know, frankly, 6 weeks ago, I had lost sight of this a little bit. And I thought as a pastor, sometimes it was my responsibility to bear your burdens. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to help you find the still waters where you can drink deeply of what the Lord wants you to find, to help you find green pasture. You know why I can help you find those things? It's because I'm following the shepherd as well. He's leading me beside still waters. Boy, he's restoring my soul. You know, maybe in here, you don't know how to let God handle your burdens. And I want you to write this on your forehead or something to allow God to do this. Here's the first thing. You have to trust God. You got to trust him. You know, something that is so simple as Elizabeth going to the grocery store, right, on Monday. She's going to go to the grocery store. I'm not going to call her up and be like, ooh, do you remember to get the little, you know, white fluffy donuts, you know? And then I don't call her back 5 minutes later. Ooh, remember, I need deodorant, you know? Oh, remember, I like the taco shells that break apart, you know, that are from Taco Bell. You know, I don't have to do that. You know why? Because I trust her with that task. She does much better than I do. I'm not going to be calling her the whole time that she's at the store. That's what trust does. You say, you have this responsibility. I'm giving it to you. Ooh, that's nice. You've got to trust God. Hand him the responsibility. Church, then you have to stand on his truth. All right, on the word of God, on prayer. That's why Christian friends are vital, so that they can speak truth into your life. Guess what? If you're going to stand on truth, you have to know it. Man, for an example, if I have this burden and I've given it to the Lord, and then I'm in that place where that burden is pulling on me and I want to lie, but the truth of God is stirring in me to say that God is the way, the truth, and the life, and I know he's the truth, then I want to stand on that. No, God, if I want to walk in everlasting life and freedom, then I'm going to speak the truth. We've got to stand on it. Now, we're trusting him, we're standing upon him, church, and let go of that burden. Let it go. How do you know when you've let it go? Because it doesn't consume this anymore. And it doesn't consume this anymore. But instead, it's been replaced with a love for Jesus Christ and a song in your heart for Jesus Christ. Man, if you're walking around without that song of Christ in your heart, then you're walking around in burdens that God didn't create you to handle, to deal with. How many of us does that apply to, right? So here's where we screw it up all the time. All right, God, I'm trusting you. I'm standing on your truth. I'm letting this go. I'm letting you have it. But then what do we want to do? We want to pick it up, right? And for some of us, we have trouble letting go. I mean, can you imagine Abraham when he had Isaac, the promised son, and God says, okay, I want you to let that go. All right, why don't you sacrifice Isaac? It's tough to let go sometimes. Can you imagine Moses, and he's got this staff in his hand, and he's standing before this burning bush, and the Lord says, let that go. You know, God, you don't understand what shepherds are required to do. This is my life and my protection. I stand with this thing. Let it go, Moses, right? Imagine Gideon with this great army ready to fight the Midianites. Gideon, you're relying on this army a little too much. Let's just whittle it down to 300 men. God, you don't go fight these guys with 300 men. You imagine Peter holding on to those nets right at the waterside. Hey, Peter, follow me. God, I don't think that I can carry all of this stuff and drag the boat behind me. Peter, let him go and follow me. See, when we let go we grab hold of Christ. So many of us, we figure out finally how to let go, and then we need something because it's just awkward, right? And so we reach down and we pick up the very thing that we've let go, and we pick back up our problems. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. I'm amazed when I follow Jesus how everything is okay. Wow, it just doesn't matter to me so much anymore. Thank you, Jesus, because eternity matters. You know, when Abraham let go of his son Isaac, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and he became a standard of faith for you and I. When Moses let go of his rod, of his staff, and the Lord directed him to pick it back up again in the power of the Lord, and he set his people free. Man, when Gideon let go of that army, then the Lord fought the battle for him. When Peter threw down his nets and he followed Christ, then God let Peter be the rock of the church that would change the face of this world as you and I know it today. What is God going to do in your life when you let go those things that you're carrying on, holding on your shoulders, letting ride on your heart? What will God do with you? That's why I'm excited about this future. Now, here's another thing. One person doesn't make or break a church. Man, the church has always been about the Holy Spirit enabling us to relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. You know what Romans 12:3 says? In fact, let's just turn over there. Romans 12:3. Paul says this, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Some of you, this should be a 2x4 to the head, right? The church is about the Holy Spirit. You know what was great in this last 6 weeks? It was great to see the church function without me. Praise the Lord. Man, praise the Lord. This place has never been about me. I don't want it to be about me. It's not going to be about me. It's not about John. It's not about Chris. Not about Robert. This is about life in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is still Lord, right? God is still on his throne. Don't follow people, follow Christ. I wonder if we counted up on our hands how many people have left this church in the 7 years that I've been here because somebody let them down, right? Oh, this person I thought was my friend as a life group leader and they didn't visit me in the hospital. I don't like that church. Oh, the pastor, he didn't even call me when I didn't go to church one Sunday in July. I'm not going to go. It's not about people. It's about Christ. It's not about one person. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Now, some of you who don't think of yourself highly at all, you're saying that and reading that and saying, great, I already think of myself as a doormat. But here's the opposite of that, right? Paul doesn't leave it just hanging there. Look in verse 4, Romans 12 in verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. You are vital to this church. Your presence here every Sunday is vital to this church. I want you to know this from the bottom of my heart. For the last 6 weeks, a part of me was missing everywhere that we went. Wasn't the same to go to a church that I didn't know. It's not the same because this is where my heart is. You are the people that I love. You are the body of Christ where you are my arms and my legs and my ears and my eyes, right? And we're connected together to this head that is Jesus Christ. Now, you have to plug in to this church to understand what I'm talking about. Some of you are still on the outside and you're looking in, but I want to tell you something. God is alive and well in Kyle, Texas, and moving in us because we're his body. We are his body. This is the presence of Christ with us when we meet together. You, each of you, are a vital part of what God wants to do in this town. I want to tell you something. You're a vital part of what God is doing in my life. Don't sell what God is doing in my life short by shortchanging how often you come here. Don't sell it short by saying, oh, they don't need me. You bless me. You bless each other. You bless the heart of God. You know, when I was gone, I didn't miss John playing the keyboard. I'm sorry, John. I love you. I see you back there. I didn't miss you playing the guitar. Brother, I got to stand up so I can see you. I missed you. Man, I missed you. Your beard's gotten long, but I missed you. Yeah. Steve, I missed you. Man, I missed your heart. I missed your testimony, too, and I'm sorry about that. But I love you, and I missed you. Pauline, Ron, I missed your smiling face when I walked through the door. Guys, it's you. Do you realize that you bring joy to the Lord in that way? Your presence. Can you imagine God on his throne on a Sunday morning, shouting out to the angels and to the nations, Miranda is gathered before my throne to worship me. I missed your smiling face. She's here today to exalt me, to say that I'm worthy. Praise God for this woman. He loves being with you. I do too, church. Oh, it's good to see you. It's good to be back. Father, we give you glory and we thank you for who you are. And ask in Jesus' name that you would be glorified. God, be glorified in our church. Be glorified in our lives. Be glorified in our families, God. How we love you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.